Okay, so we... Well, I'll try to cut short from finishing last week's stuff so that we can do all this week's stuff, and then we'll be good to go. So we will not discuss Chafa and Chaveiro. We'll just... That's on me, right? Okay, good. We'll just finish up the Machlokas Rishonim about whether there's Machshava for Chafina, how to understand that, and then we'll move on to the topic of Chofein v'Chozer v'Chofein. So just to get up to speed very quickly from last week, so we saw a basic distinction between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi when it comes to understanding Chafina. Namely, according to the Yerushalmi, everything is clean and fits very well. Right? Yerushalmi has a bunch of issues involved with Chafina and says that they're all linked together, and Mikdash David explains that it all comes down to whether Chafina is an Avoda or not. Right? So he has a theory that if Chafina is an Avoda, then the act of Chafina itself, doing the Avoda, is what will provide Kedusha Saguf, right? Internal Kedusha to the scooped Ketores, which is why the Yerushalmi says that's how Chafanim will become a Klisharis. That's how the hands of the Kohen Gadol can be a Klisharis. How can they become a Klisharis? They're not a Klisharis, they're hands. Answer is by doing an Avoda, he's sanctifying the Ketores, allowing it to be used for the actual service. That will explain why. The Yerushalmi links to, for example, with the need to have the Kohen Gadol himself be the one who's doing the Chafina, not having his buddy do it, or not having the former Kohen Gadol do it. Right? You have to do it yourself because it's an Avoda, and Avoda has to be done by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, and has to be done by the active Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, and that's why this is all linked and a couple of other things. Bekitzur, that was the Yerushalmi. Problem was, the Bavli did not, the Bavli raised a bunch of issues, but A, it did not link them, right? It treated them independently, and B, the Bavli seems to pasken that Chafina is an Avoda, because the Bavli takes up the issue of whether there is machshava for chafina. All right, what does that mean, machshava for chafina? What am I talking about? Machshava for chafina? So that's bina binayim? Pigel, exactly, right? The question of if you have thoughts of pigel while you were doing the chafina, right, that I scoop it up with intent to burn it beyond its allotted time. So the Gemara derives that there will be there will be a psul machshava for that. You only have pigel triggered if you are doing an avoda, which is why the Rambam rules explicitly, right, definitively in Halacha Chaf Zayin, that there is a psul machshava for chafina, and then Halacha Chaf Ches, where he talks about all those other cases, right, using the bein beinayim, right, using the stuff that squeezes between the fingers, or having a strange method of chafina, or having your friend do the chafina, or having the former Kohen do the chafina, a few others, all of those, he says, are a suffix, right? So unlike Yerushalmi and Mikdash David, right, the Bavli and Rambam were clearly treating these as independent issues, right? You can say that chafina is an avoda, and yet we still are unclear about all of these different cases. So we spent last week pointing out a couple of different issues, right, that the Rishonim bring up to kind of deal with these one by one. Where we ended up was we spoke about the relationship between kamitza and chafina, right? The Bavli, Yerushalmi as well, but the Bavli does link them. Rashi did not seem so impressed by this relationship, right? Whereas Tosfos were, right? When the Gemara says we can derive the need to scoop Ketores from the way that you scoop your mincha, right? So that kind of set us off on a general question, which is, are we learning all of the laws of Chafina from Kamitza, right? Or is Chafina its own independent entity, right, with certain overlaps with Kamitza? So Rashi seemed to take the first approach and say that Chafina really is independent of Kamitza, and we could tell because every time that the Bavli mentions an issue, so Rashi says, well, it doesn't really matter what you hold of the last issue, right? We could treat this independently, right? So first we have the case of using a mida, right? Using a, according to Rashi, using a scooper. And then we have the case of beina beinayim, between the fingers. And the third was the case of machshava. And in each of these cases, Rashi had said that you can connect to kamitza for one of these without connecting to kamitza for any of the other two. Right? Each one of these Rashi treated independently. And each time Tosfos say no. Tosfos have it as a very clear hierarchy. Right? First, you have the basic Zera Shava, which will tell you about the act of scooping, right? So the pu'ula itself, right? That it has to be done by hand. That was number one. And then say Tosfos, if you say that you connect chafina to kamitsa for the act of scooping, we can also connect them for having to have intent to scoop up everything you scoop, right? Which means not the stuff that slips between your fingers without your awareness. And then finally, Setosos on Memches, we can also connect them for the need to have machshava. That the potential that machshava will be a posel, right? That just like kamitsa can create pigle, so too chafina can create pigle. But we're only going to say that chafina can create pigle if we have all of these other pre-existing connections to the mincha, to kamitsa and the world of the mincha. Rashi said, no, Rashi's willing to treat each one of them independently, right? So we see that Rashi seems to think that, you know, chafina really has its own independent status. It's not dependent on kamitsa for whatever power it has. Now, I think the last point we made yesterday, and this is just important to set up to really hone in on the contrast with Tosos, which we'll look at now, and then we'll, and Tosos Yishanim, and then we'll wrap up, move on to the next topic, is that, right, we had also discussed the question of, is chafina a maisa-focused avoda, right, or a maisa-focused halacha, or is it a totza-focused halacha, right? Are we focusing on the act of scooping the katoras, or are we focusing on the act of just obtaining the measure of two hands full? We said in theory it would be great if this was connected to the avoda question, right? We could say that if it's an avoda, then it's maisa focused, and if it's not an avoda, then it's just, you know, a machshir. It's just a means to get your incense. That's probably what the Yerushalmi thinks. Yerushalmi probably links those two. The Bavli, as we discussed, right, everything's kind of disconnected. Rashi seems to think that the chafina really is about the result, rather than about the act itself. And the reason why we said that is because Rashi is willing to countenance the Havamina, or at least the, not even the Havamina, the possibility of the Mida, right, the scooping, not being done by you use a measuring tool and then pour it into your hands, but, right, that you would only use the measuring tool, and the Katoris would never even enter your hands, right? So if that Havamina, if that option is true, we do not connect Chafina to Kamitsa regarding the question of using your hands. And we combine that with Rashi saying the question of machshava is an independent question, right? We can learn from mincha for machshava, but not for the pu'ula. So we will be left with a result, according to Rashi, a possibility that chafina can create pigle, but you don't need to use your hands, right? Tosas had said that's absurd, right? Our baseline is to connect kamitsa and chafina for the action, and then we build on top of that to get to machshava. Rashi says they're all independent, which means you could have a result, and Rashi's was radical. Rashi said that you could never use your hands if we don't connect chafina to kamitsa for the action, and yet, chafina is posel machshava. Only way that can make sense, if we say that chafina is an avoda, and it's posel, and yet you don't need to even use your hands, possibly, right, is that Rashi thinks that chafina really, really is about the tosa, right? If chafina was about the maisa chafina, then this would not make any sense. How could it be about the maisa, about the maisa, and yet you don't need to use your hands while it creates pigle? Right? It has to be that the avoda is the totza of having the amount of ketores. Right? Rashi disconnects maisa from avoda. Chafina really is about the result of having the incense, right? And that and yet it can still be an avoda of obtaining that amount of incense, which I think is parallel of the other four avodos which exist in the world of Karbanos. Which one seems like the most totza-oriented? Think about the process of from shechting a carbon until we throw its blood on the Mizbeach. So one of those four stages seems... So I would have said not halacha, because halacha does involve action.
Where are you going, yeah?
Well, you're using your legs. I hear you. Probably, maybe. I hear you. I mean, halachas are second up big sugi. So I hear you're coming from. But the one where you're least active. Yeah, that's what I would have thought. Why would you say Kabbalah Sadam?
Because you're just kind of like, you're catching something.
Yeah, I'm holding out the cup, the vessel, right? And my goal is to just receive the blood of the animal. So, you know, that paradigm of a no maisa avoda could exist, right? That's what Rashi seems to think Chafin is all about. It is totsa-oriented, but it's also an avoda. You don't have to say that Maisa and avoda are connected. Okay, so that now brings us to Tosos. We haven't discussed, but there are two kind of separate Tosin, and they are both important. One on Memchasma Alf, one on Memchasma Base. Just one second. Yeah, okay, so let's take a look at the Tosos Dibur HaMaschil Mi Yalef Male Male Mehasam, right? It's the on Mem Chesed Aleph. Mem Chesed Aleph, the second to last Tosos. Okay, so Tosos are bothered by Rashi. It's a little bit technical. The question is, how do you get Pigul to... How do you connect Pigul to Ketores? So the way Rashi sets it up is first the original pasuk about Pigul is talking about Karban Shlamim. We have a Hekesh from Shlamim to other Karbanos, so we have a Hekesh from Shlamim to Mincha. And then, says Rashi, we have our Gezeirah Sheva, right, from Mincha to Ketores, right? So we start the pasuk about Shlamim, Hekesh takes me over to Mincha, Gezeirah Sheva takes me over to Ketores. Tosas are upset because apparently that violates a rule in Harad Darshan in Kachim. You can't combine Hekesh with Gezeirah Sheva. So they don't like that. And instead, they want to suggest their own possibility. So we don't really need to get into the details of how the Drasha works. But what's important is what they say about Ketores and Chafina and the Mincha. So does anyone want to read it, starting from Venerali, the last word on the second line?
I agree.
Great. Slowly.
Venerali, Mefarish, the Peshita Le, Teshayech Ba Tigo Behalichata, Behaktarata.
Everyone in place? We're good?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Right, so Venera Li, right, the Farish, the Pshita Le, the Shayach, the Pigol. Okay, so what does that mean?
Obviously, it means it's obvious that, you know, Pigol, the idea of Pigol is Shayach by both Hadichata and by Hadichtar.
What are those two things, Hadichata and Haktarata?
Hadichata, I guess it's the, the walking,
where are you walking?
To the,
Non Yom Kippur.
Kippur.
Very good, right? You have the Ketores, right? So you're walking the Ketores to the Kodesh HaKadashim. Mm-hmm. That's Holacha, right? Again, the four primary avodot are Shechita / Kmitza, right? Then Kabbalah, then Holacha, and then Zrika / Haktar. Okay, so the third is Halicha, right? So it's obvious that there's Pigul for walking over the Ketores and for
the Ketores itself.
So Haktarata, right? Burning the Ketores. That's why Ketores is called Ketores.
So according to who says the Mincha Haktara Mikalakes Haktara. But according to the person who says by Mincha also Haktara Haktara, that also is the Mifagol.
Right. So those are obvious. So if you have Pigul for walking the Mincha and Pigul for burning the Mincha, then you obviously have those two for walking and burning the Ketores as well. Why is that? Why is it obvious? Key line coming up. Right. So what did you just say?
Because all these other avodas, right, dhamma, they're similar, are learned from the avodah mecha.
Not learned from. Damu legamre. Right, damu legamre. So not similar. Stronger than essentially similar.
Not like completely totally similar. Essentially in the sense of
right.
Their essence.
Okay, their essence is similar.
Not that it's like, oh, essentially.
Yeah. Right. Identical. Right? Damu legamre. They are identical to the avoda samincha. So, okay. And then Tosa goes on to explain, right? They have a little bit of a chiddush. We have this kind of expansion from the shlamim pasuk to other karbanos. Okay. But so point number one is that Ketores and Mincha, right? So until now we have been talking about the relationship between Kmitza and Chafina, right? And Tosos thought that was like critical to where Chafina gets its strength. So here Tosos are upping the ante, right? They're saying it's not just a question of Chafina and Kmitza, right? Tosos are assuming a backdrop of Ketores being identical to mincha, right? So it's not just that chafina sakatoras gets its power from kmitza sa mincha, ketores gets its power from minachos, right? It's the whole world is being taken from that world. Okay.
The whole world meaning the 400.
Exactly, right? The avodos are identical.
And this is independent of any Xer Shava.
Correct, exactly.
It's just like
exactly.
A sexual similarity.
Right, which is how he's gonna, that's how he gets out of his heckish Xer Shava problem. Right. So now, so the next three lines is Tosos proving this idea they have about an extra pasuk for an extra drasha for pigol to other karbanos. So pick up the fourth to last line, velo mi ba'alei hacha. That's where the kind of discussion picks up again. Second word in the line, velo mi ba'alei.
Velo mi ba'alei hacha. Ela icha shiva chafina. Avodah kimo kmitza.
Period. Right. So let's just read that. So we go into this gemara knowing there's pigol for halacha of the ketores, because that's identical to holacha of the mincha. We go into this gemara knowing that there's pigol for haktaras haktaras, because that's identical to haktaras haMincha. The only question we have, lo mi ba'alei hacha, all I wanted to know was about what?
Chafina,
right? Local question. So we go in assuming that, you know, that everything else is that pigol's relevant. We only want to know about chafina, and what exactly do you want to know about chafina? So is I chashiva chafina, right? So we want to know if chafina is an avoda or not, and if it is, it's going to be by virtue of independent status of chafina, like Rashi.
No,
right? Only because of its connection to kmitza. Okay, let's explain.
Because by shchita, it's even for reshet, chilek gavoa hadan mechal kagyot. It's a, what does that mean? It's a, to separate the chilek the gavoa from the chilek gavoa against the hedyot of like mundane.
Motar, I think, yeah.
You take the comates from that, which is extra. Above
yeah.
The chafina,
okay, so let's stop there for a second. So let's just make sure we're clear on those two, right? So shchita and kamitsa are the introductory avodos for animals and for flower offerings. And he says a defining aspect of shchita and kamitsa is that they separate, right? They separate in the case of the mincha. What does the kamitsa separate? Right, you know what it's called? So he used the term Mosar, but
Shirayim,
right? You have, you know, before the Chassidim came along, we had the Shirayim of the Mincha. So that's part of what Kamitza does. It's not only Kamitza is not only to give you your flower, right? It also has to, it must. Separate that flower from something else. Right? It must be a kmitza from something, from a something. Shchita, this is a little bit of a chiddush of Tosos, right? That's not so clear if this is the case, but apparently Tosos assume that just like separating is a critical function of kmitza, so too it's a critical function of shchita. Because what does shchita separate exactly? What does it separate?
High blood from lower blood?
Yeah, or the... So, chelek v'adam. So...
The blood you collect from the blood that stays in the blood.
Right. You know why it's called gavoa? Because what do you do with the blood you collect?
The korban.
Bingo, right? Exactly, right? It's the dam which belongs to the gavoa, right? Dam hanefesh, the blood which carries the soul of the animal. That's the stuff that you try to catch with your Kabbalah bucket. And the rest of the blood, right? The animal continues to bleed for a little while after after the initial cut. But the rest of the blood is no good for the mizbeach, right? So Tosus assumed that that's not just the physical reality; that's an essential role of shchita. Is that it's you have to separate the mikudash part of the blood from the rest of the blood, just like you're separating the mikudash part of the kmitza from everything else. everything has kedusha, right? This whole thing is a carbon, right? But there is an extra level of kedusha attached to the element which is going onto the mizbeach. Okay, so that's a defining aspect of kmitza. That's a defining aspect of shchita. What about chafina? Is there any separating going on in chafina?
No.
No?
Well, according to us, it's not.
There isn't?
Yeah.
Or am I
defining it? It depends how you look at, of course, the action of chafina.
So there's a... There isn't. There's no separating, right? You scoop today's ketores,
it's
right?
Out of like the giant bucket that's gonna be for everyone.
The pot, yeah, exactly. You scoop the ketores out of the pot, and then tomorrow you go back to that pot, and the next day you go to that pot. So all this incense is gonna be used as ketores. So you're not separating, you know, one level of kedusha from another, right? That's not what's going on. So the question now becomes. This is like a very conceptual question. Can we link chafina to kmitza, right? How essential is the separating, and if it is really essential, right, then maybe we can't connect chafina to kmitza. That's exactly what the question is. We assume mincha ketores are linked. Chafina kmitza, that's our question. Okay, so avo bechafina. Yeah, you can't say that they're separating with chafina. Why not?
And you're going to bring it some other time. Right, but you could possibly say, right, currently that you should be gomer below below kizer shabbat, and you're going to say that no, regardless of the fact that there's no separating aspect, you're going to limit chafina from kmitza regardless.
So here's where we need the gzera shava, right? When it came to the rest of the avodos of the ketores, we connected them organically to the avodos of the mincha. The only time where we have a question is kmitza and chafina. Why does that stick out like a sore thumb? It looks like they're the same. I'm scooping up flour. I'm scooping up incense. But what about the separating issue, right? So that's going to prevent the organic connection, and therefore there we will need the gzer sakasov to allow to the gzer shava to allow all these halachos to come out. Okay. Now, by the way, you could at the end of the day, how important is the separating function for kmitza? Right? Can we say definitively that the gzera shava pushes us in one way or another about the importance of separating for a kmitza?
No.
You see the question?
I don't think I understand the question.
Okay, so Tosos had said, right, that while the rest of the avodos of the ketores organically connect to the parallel avodos of the mincha, we don't think we can do that for kmitza to chafina because kmitza involves separating and chafina does not. So that's why we need a gzera shava, right? So the gzera shava kind of, you know, does the hard work for us. Now, lemaskana, do we think that separating the komets from the shirayim is in fact a defining aspect of kmitza, or not? Right? No, right, really, we see that the defining aspect is just the scooping, right? And it happens to be that you'd separate, but that's not an essential function.
What do they do with the shirayim again?
They get eaten by the kohanim.
It can't be used either way.
Okay, you could argue either way.
No, I would say no. I would argue that it wouldn't tell us anything about it.
Meaning, you could argue either way.
Yeah, you could argue either way.
Okay, so argue either way.
Okay, you could argue either way by saying, okay, if we don't learn, if we do learn, we learn from Kedusha Shava, we have to tell us two things. One, that how could you argue this? Well, it's hard to say that it would tell you anything about it. Because you could say that, oh, it's required, but we need gezeirah shavah because it doesn't have this connecting aspect. Or you could say, no, we need the gezeirah shavah because there's no other aspect of kmitza to connect with chafina regardless. So okay, we can have, regardless of whether or not the shirayim from the kmitza is mahakiv, the kmitza itself, it doesn't really tell us anything. So by learning the gezeirah shavah, you get what I'm saying?
Maybe tell me, let me tell you what I was thinking and tell me if this is what you're saying or not. Once we, without the gzera shava, right? Without the gzera shava, we could not connect chafina to kamitza because of the gap from the separation factor. Does the gzera shava tell us discount separation really kamitza and chafina are seriously parallel, just like holacha to holacha and haktara to haktara, right? That you thought that the separating was essential. Gzera Shava tells you it's not, right? Forget about that. You should indeed connect kamitza to chafina. Or do we say, no, right? You are correct. Separating the kamitza from the shirayim is an essential role of kamitza that's absent by ktores. Despite the fundamental, conceptual gap between the two, nonetheless, we have a gzera shava which allows them to be connected for these dinim, right? So does the gzera shava tell me, right, correct your perceptions as to the relationship between these two dinim? Or does the gzera shava tell you, no, right, these two dinim are indeed separate, right? In other words, is it like a bridge between them, or is it actually bringing them together, right?
Here, first, I'm understanding it.
Yeah.
Because our Shava is teaching us there is an idea of separation by Chafina.
No, because that's objectively not true.
Then that's the second way of going about it. It is necessary, but.
No, the facts on the ground are that Kamitza does separate Kometz from Shirayim, and Chafina does not separate because, right, the next day you're going to go back to the pool. The question is, was our initial assumption that separating is an essential defining aspect of chafina, of kamitza, is that assumption correct? So you could say it is correct, and nonetheless the gzera shava connects these two, right? Or you could say, no, it's incorrect, and the gzera shava demonstrates to you, right, that really these two are organically related. I think you could argue either way. I think.
But don't we learn?
I would probably argue that we still think that they're separate.
Just based off of the assumptions of. Great. Based off of the resting assumption we have here, which is that everything's the same except for this. Like, it just wouldn't make sense that the Gzera Shava wouldn't link them completely. Like, I just feel like that would undermine the whole. I don't know. I'm not making sense, but like, it. Also, what you just said, I agree with. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
But just given that.
I think that.
It's just like
it's like sense. We've made all these assumptions, like we've made all these connections on the other avodah, and then, like, just this one, it doesn't make sense to discount all the assumptions that we've made just so we can then, like, use Gzeret Shava to encompass all of it.
That's not what I was saying, but that works. Yeah, I don't know what you guys think. It's all good. How would one argue the other way?
Meaning you guys are arguing
that
for organic separate, that it's a bridge, not a bringer together.
Yes.
So the way you'd argue the other way is that the Gzera Shava tells you that how can Kamitza and Chafina really be connected? In a world where they're so separate, where separation is so defining, how could they be connected? Gzera Shava tells you, despite the fact that there's separation involved in Kamitza, indeed, right, on an underlying basis, these two really are fundamentally related. And you should not think that separation is a defining aspect of kamitza.
Even if it's in different places.
No. Interesting. I don't think.
No, but I thought that
was... I don't. I agree with you guys.
I just think that
we have to put that out there.
He's trying to lay out those structures.
He goes through all
separating
those lines and then says...
Sorry?
And then at the end would say, we don't actually...
Are you saying in your read of Tosos?
No, from what...
Yeah. Okay.
That's what he said.
Can you go over them again, the two opinions?
Because I... Now I think I pronounced
it. Wait, what had you thought and what do you think?
I thought you were saying that...
What?
If you think that Chafina and Kamitza really are parallel,
then
that means
that
Kamitza separation is not really.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. That's
what
I'm
saying.
If
you think that they're two separate
things.
Sorry,
say that first one again.
In order to learn
if you think that Chafina and Kamitza, yeah, that's right.
No, that's a different.
Chafina, that's why they're
confusing.
Because
just the last part.
are different, and nevertheless, there's something that they have in common.
Either way,
then in that case, the separation would be important.
I thought that was the first way. The causal line is reversed.
The second way is essential.
If separation is essential to kamitsa, then we can't connect them, right? We can only bridge them. Which is, I really need to come up with a better word for connect, because connect and bridge sound the same.
No, but like, we can say that they're parallel. For those listening on
the
still,
yeah, and my hand motions don't help with the recording.
We can see that the actions are parallel and still assume a bridge, not a synthesis. Or whatever. Yeah?
Good word. Sorry?
I don't know. Whatever.
Synthesis.
We can still say that they are parallel actions with this big difference. Right?
Maybe the current version works so well.
Yes.
I feel like we're using
yeah, absolutely. In other words, that's not, it's not
clearly,
like...
There's clearly parallelism. That's
right. We're not comparing, you know, Kamitsa to Zrika or something, right? There definitely is
crazy
relationship there. Although, that actually nicely highlights, and let's try to squeeze this in really quickly because it's around 9 o'clock, that actually is a great segue to the point I wanted to get out of the last Tosfos, which is like really very briefly, right? So the Gemara, after it discussed Machshava for Chafina, discuss Machshava for one other issue. Do you remember what it was? So the Gemara asked, what about Machshava for scooping up the coals, which you are going to use to burn the Ketores? So the way that Tosos, I didn't get a chance to see the line where Tosos kind of gave their explanation for how Machshava could apply to scooping the coals, which has nothing to do with kamitsa, right? I mean, you're scooping coals with a... You better not be using your hands, because they're coals.
That's
on the fiery, fiery hot pile of ashes on the Mizbeach. So... So Toso said, this was the Ramasa, Chishe v'chatiyas kachalim, but they said, look, if we have pigol for chafina, so do we say, right? They said chatiyas kachalim mahu machshirei mitzvah kemitzvah damu. Do we say that those that enable the mitzvah are like the mitzvah? Vechafina arichta hu. Do we say that scooping the coals is part of a chafina arichta? What does chafina arichta mean?
An extended
chafina, right? So when we have like yuma arichta, right? What's a yuma? What's yuma arichta?
Right, the
Kedusha Sayom, right? It's a 48-hour long Kedusha Sayom, right? So the day extends, right? We talk about Hashkivenu does not make a hefsik between Geula and Tefillah because Hashkivenu is part of Geula Arechta, right? It's the brach of Geula extends into Hashkivenu. So Tosa say, oh, maybe, right? We're asking, do you have pigol for scooping the coals because it's a chafina arechta. So what is it? What does it mean a chafina arechta? Right? We can't compare that. We can't compare that to hashkivenu being subsumed under geula or you know a 2-day long kedusha sayom. Like those are two totally separate actions. Right? One is scooping Torres and one is using your shovel to take out some embers from the mizbeach.
But they're done concurrently.
They're done separately, and the Kohen Gadol's got to do both.
But they're done. But then he walks with both things.
He walks in with both, 100%.
Yeah. So I'm saying that part is at the.
But how can you call scooping the coals a chafina? Well, okay. First of all, why would he call it a chafina rechta? Why is he saying that in order for there to be pigle for scooping the coals, it has to be linked to chafina? So that's probably because Tosfot thought that the only way that chafina gets pigle is because chafina has to be linked to kamitsa, right? Tosfot said there's no independent status, stature to chafina. Chafina gets all of its power from kamitsa, right? So that's why Tosfot say, well, look, if chafina isn't independent and can only get its power from kamitsa, then scooping the coals, which is only the machshir for chafina, that for sure can't be independent, right? It can only get its power from chafina. So that's interesting, right? And maybe Rashi never would have said that. But if you're going to tell me that, you know, scooping the coals is a chafina arichta, so I think this actually works for Tosos very well. Because what do we mean it's a chafina arichta? So chafina really is about, right? It's it actually goes back. I think you were making a point just a second ago about walking the two. So if we're thinking about not chafina and kamitza per se, but we're thinking about ketores and mincha, right? The last halacha had said you have to think in general. This whole sigil only makes sense because we're assuming a broader connection between mincha and ketores. So the mincha is all about launching the first stage of the avoda, right? So what we're really saying is that chafina is the first stage of ketores, just like kamitza is the first stage of the mincha, right? In other words, we're not evaluating the avoda per se. We're evaluating the avoda in its role of the broader ma'arechet, right? We're looking at chafina in ketores, just like we're looking at kamitza in mincha. And once that's the case, you can say that, well, really what kicks off the mincha is not the chafina alone, right? But it is the chafina along with the scooping of the coals, right? If we were looking just at, if we were just evaluating the dry act of chafina, then we could never call scooping the coals a chafina arechta. Those are two totally different things. It's only because Tosfos assume that kmitza to chafina is essential, but that ketores to mincha is essential, right? That the ascent, that the connections lie much deeper, that they can argue that, you know, scooping the coals is part of the chafina. Because really what this is all part of is the broader avoda of the ketores, and this is setting up stage one, right? Having the stuff, which I then do the halacha and the haktara to, right? Step one is get the stuff, right? Step two is bring the stuff, and step three is burn the stuff.
So chafina becomes the title under which we subsume everything that pertains to getting the stuff.
Exactly, exactly. That would be the scientific way of putting it. Or a lumdish way of putting it, maybe more precisely, right? The chafina, even though, you know, the non, when you first would read the sugi, you'd say that chafina means the scooping, but in actually chafina, with the ideal capital chet, chafina really refers to getting all the stuff, and that's why scooping your coals can become part of your chafina arechta. Okay, so at the end of the day, Rashi thinks that chafina really is its own independent avoda, and we can pick and choose from how it relates to the kamitza for various different dinim, right? Maybe it draws on it from here and not from there. We said Rashi thinks that chafina really is about the totsa'a, and yet it's an avoda. And Tosfos say no. Tosfos say that chafina has to be connected to kamitza at every stage, and that that is really part of a broader relationship between mincha and ketores. Okay, so let's stop there with the discussion of chafina per se, because we need to knock down the topic of chofin, v'chozer v'chofin. We got 23 minutes, so let's do what we can. Okay, so let's turn back to the Gemara, which starts off the parak. And we should read some of this inside, because it's important. So the Mishnah had told us, right, that the first thing they're doing in the Mishnah is they are bringing out the spoon and the shovel, right? And the spoon, the kaf, is there to hold the ketores, and the shovel is there to hold the coals, right? Which is what we just talked about. So the Gemara asks a very important question, right? Which this is at the second, at least in my Gemara, the second two dots on Nam Zayim at Aleph, Kaf Yom Kippurim. Does anyone want to read it? Besides Adam, because you just read.
Okay.
So just not you? Because you read already?
I
awesome.
I hate reading. Kaf Yom Kippurim Lamali, Milok of Nava, Hivi Amar of Mana.
Yes, that's a key question.
Mishum Delo Ashar.
So let's just get down the...
Oh, wait, okay.
Yeah, let's nail down the question. So Kaf
Yom Kippurim Lamali. The question is, it says Milok of Nava, Hivi.
Right, which means in the King James Bible...
Fill up your hands and bring it.
So if you're filling up your hands and bringing it, then why is the Mishnah... That's not a kaf, right? So why is the Mishnah telling me to use a spoon if the Torah said, fill up your hands and bring it?
And the answer is Mishum to left
side. It's impossible. So that's right. How could we have maybe done it?
You could fill up the... Well, it depends which thing comes first.
Right, just pick and choose. Take, for example.
Okay, so you like, you scoop up the stuff, then you bring it, and then you take the coals separately, and bring it, but that'd be shtei hava'ot, and we only have one hava'ah.
Right, which I thought was interesting. I thought that worked very well with Rav Soloveitchik's whole idea about Ketores and the real issue being the going into Kodesh HaKadoshim. Right? Why is it so important to have one hava'ah, not two hava'os? If you could do the avoda better with two hava'os, so why not just go in with the coals, put down the coals, go back outside, get the Ketores, and bring it in? Right, but if it, we talked about a couple weeks ago, right? If really the main avoda is the going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and you're just going in with the Ketores, right? So then it's then I understand better why it's so important to have one hava, not two, because it's not a hava to do the Ketores, in which case we should have it tailored to best do the Ketores, right? It's the Ketores is really there as part of the hava. So you have one, you get one shot, you go in once. And you don't have three hands, right? So you can't. So you have to use a spoon to hold your two hands full of Ketores, because otherwise you'd have two hands holding your Ketores and one hand holding your coals. That's obviously impossible. Okay. So since it's impossible to hold two hands full of incense and hold your coals, therefore we use the spoon. And the Gemara asks, right? Well, why can't you just hold, can you just use it with your hands, and then, you know, you'll kind of balance the coals with, like, your arm or something, and then you'll get into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and you'll hold the coals with your teeth, and then the Gemara says, because you shouldn't be holding it with your teeth in front of the Aron Kodesh, that's, like, very disrespectful. Okay, so at the end of the day, right, we're left with, it's impossible, and so what, and how does the Gemara end? Right, so what do we do? We use a kaf, and where does the kaf come from? It's the last two words of the Gemara before two dots. Yeah, what's that talking about? What did the Nesi'im do? Yeah, in the Chanukah HaMishkan, right? So whenever the Nesi'im brought their kabanot, so they brought a kaf, Maliyah Ketores, right? Which, you think to the Chanukah leaning, and it comes back. Right? So we use a kaf. We should use hands full. We use a kaf because it's impossible otherwise. So there now there's a really basic question we have to ask, which is, what's the role of this kaf? And we could take it in like one of two basic directions. We would love to use our hands full. Right? In a world where humans have three hands, we would have two hands of Ketores and one hand holding the ashes. If a Kohen has three hands, he's a Baal Mum and he can't be Kohen Gadol. So that's not going to happen. So instead we use the kaf. What's the status of this kaf? So,
does it like take the status of like the like as your hand become a, like a kli like kedusha? Does the kaf take the same status, or does it just remain something that is like an intermediary between? I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So let me say it's basically what you're saying, but just like a little bit different.
In other words, you're saying,
does the kaf represent my malocha hafnaf? Right? That's,
yeah.
So, right, in an ideal world, you would have literal hands full, right? And in the world we're in, you have to use the kaf, right? So you're saying, well, is the kaf considered malocha hafnaf or not? So what I'm going to say, I think, includes what you're saying as well. Tell me if I'm right on that. You could say that, look, really, 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 you should be using a kaf the whole time, right? But yeved, you should be using your hands the whole time. But yeved, you have to use a kaf. But the whole time you're using the kaf, we look at this as a b'yeved reality, right? And that, you know, every second that you're using the kaf, we wish you were using your hands, but you can't. So for now, you have to use the kaf. Like kind of like the question of dechuya versus hutra model for using this kaf, right? That's like a question you'll ask whenever you have a b'dyavad reality, right? Does the b'dyavad how b'dyavad is the b'dyavad? Does the b'dyavad become a lecha chila, or is it still a b'dyavad? So, do I wish that I still was using my hands, but I'm allowed to use the kaf because there's no other way? Or do we say, and this is what gets to Liara's formulation of it, that once reality strikes and you have to use the kaf now becomes what you're supposed to use, right? So the kaf now becomes your malocha hafnav. We'll say this has there's like a din kaf, right? It's no longer just, I have to use the kaf, but I would love to go back to the hands if I could, right? The next stage in the avoda, because it has to be that way, right? Because it has to be that way, you are now supposed to put it in the kaf, and the kaf has a legal independent status of kaf. Not only, you know, a stopgap because you're stuck using this out of necessity. Right, that's a basic question you have to ask. I don't know if you saw it inside, but I gave you the passage from the Teres HaKodesh. Teres HaKodesh is a book by Rav Mordechai Ilan, who also wrote the Knesset HaRishonim to Masechet Zvachim. If you guys are familiar with the Knesset HaRishonim at all, it's like an essential. What he did in Zvachim was any Rishon, like anywhere in Shas or in Shalos Tshuvos or in super random places, who wrote on the Gemaras in Zvachim. So he like makes that for you on the page. So it's like a shita mikubetzes that he kind of manufactured on Zvachim, and he has all his great footnotes. And then his son did it for Menachos, Mi'ila, and Temura. His son also wrote some of the best Masada footnotes. I remember my Shanabet, Rav Moshe Lechstein, was giving Shir Kali on Sukkah, and the first thing he said was like, guys, you have to get Tosa Rosh on Sukkah because it's got footnotes from Yaakov Ilan, and those are really good. So his father, Rav Mordechai Ilan, besides writing Knesset HaRishonim to Zvachim, also wrote this massive three-volume tome called Teres HaKodesh, Olam Kadshim, and stuff in there. It's deceptive because it's written in block print, so it looks like it should be very clean and easy to read. But then you realize that the font is very small and the margins are kind of big, so you're wondering why it's taking you 20 minutes to read one page, and it's because there are like a lot of words squeezed in there. But he argues that this question about the role of the kaf, whether it's continually bidyeved, and we wished and wished and wished that we could go back to the hands or not, is exactly the machlokas on memtes amud aleph about the question the Gemara asked of chofein v'chozer v'chofein. Right, what does chofein v'chozer v'chofein mean? Right. Do you do a second chafin when you go to Kodesh HaKadashim? So I bring my kaf into the Kodesh HaKadashim. So there are two things I could do. Right, if I don't do a second chafina, so what will I do with the Ketores and the Kaf once I'm inside the Kodesh HaKadashim? Yeah, right? Say it louder. Say it louder.
Put it in directly.
I'll pour it directly, right? And then I can just take my my measured out chafina and pour it directly onto the coals. If I say chofein v'chozer v'chofein, what do I need to do? Yeah, right, and that's where you have to do the very complicated process, which the Rambam calls avodah kasha b'mikdash, where you have to Are you doing this or are you doing like this?
Yeah, we didn't understand.
Do you not roll it from your elbows?
What? How would you describe
that?
I think
I think
the Rambam was describing was describing. I don't need this anymore. I think the Rambam was describing you're doing this. So you're holding it with your.
But he said your thumbs.
He said your thumbs. So yeah.
Then
what are you doing if it's in your mouth?
Does Rama say your mouth also?
One of the options in the Gemara.
Yeah, so I thought that was.
Either it's your fingertips or alternatively your teeth.
I think part of the confusion is we're not sure whether the kli was like a pan with like a long handle or whether it was like. Whenever they have like those, whenever those Christian paintings of like Aaron and he's holding that kind of. That lantern on a chain. So that's the bazech with the ketores. So if it's the lantern option, then he has to be kind of tilting it into his hands.
I thought the bazech is like a genie lamp looking type of thing, like with the shulchan. Like, isn't there a bazech of spices?
There is a bazech of spices that you put on the shulchan. Yeah, I don't know if it's.
I don't know if it's a genie lamp.
I don't know.
Google, but.
Don't go.
Yeah, we've got 12 minutes, so don't worry about it for now. But okay, so how would we... So Rav Ilan argues, and it makes a lot of sense, Rav Ilan argues that we should connect this question of whether you need, whether the kaf is like b'dyeved, or the kaf is the chachila, to the question of chofein v'chozer v'chofein or not. All right, so what do you think? How can we plug this, how can we plug that in? So when I get into the Kodesh HaKadashim, I now put the coals on the floor, right? So now I no longer need three hands, right? Because I don't need to hold the coals in one of those. So I now have my two hands available. So if I think that really, really you should be using your hands and the kaf is only a temporary, necessity-driven, expedient... dechuya allowance. So then you're going to say, well, look, you don't need the kaf anymore because you don't need to be holding the coals. Right? So if that's the case, then we'll say chofein v'chozer v'chofein. Right? You better re-chofein, because how dare you continue using this kaf when it's no longer necessary. Torah said, use molochaf nav. We allowed a kaf because it had to be used. Once it's no longer necessary, so you better get that incense back in your hands full before putting it onto the fire.
Wait, can you just clarify then? If you're going to be redoing it anyway, why did you bring it in the first time in the kaf?
We have to.
Yeah, so this is important.
Why do you do chafina and put it in the kaf?
Because the Torah said v'lakach melo chafnav, right? Well, not melo chafnav. The Torah said first v'lakach melo machta gach le'esh. So you have to take a bunch of coals, umelo chafnav ketores, right? And two handful of ketores, v'hevi mebeis aparoches, right? So you take the coals and you take the incense. And in one bringing, right, hava achas, in one bringing, you bring those all together into the Kodesh HaKadosh.
Okay, so because you have to bring them all together.
Yeah, you have to bring them all together. I only have two hands, and the Ketores fills up two hands, so I must use a kaf for the Ketores while using the shovel for the coals, mm-hmm. Right? Now I bring it to the Kodesh HaKadosh. I put my coals down on the floor. I now have two hands available, right? So I can resume my literal Maloch Hafnav situation. So am I obligated to do so or not? So if we say, you know, the kaf was only allowed because you had no other choice, well, now you have a choice. Now you better put it back in. If we say that the kaf now attains real legal status, right, this now has a din kaf, right, this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to put in the kaf. It's not just that, you know, you're allowed to use while you can, a dechuya, right, which as soon as the counter pressure is gone, the allowance goes away, but it becomes a you use the kaf, you're supposed to use it, right? So then it makes sense that, look, once it's in the kaf, it's in the kaf. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be in the kaf, right? And there's no compelling need for me to bring it back to my hands as soon as that becomes a viable option. So he said that, and then I think he points out, but like it's not just Rivlan. Tosa Rash says it too. Tosa Rash says that's Tosa Rash's exact way of explaining the Gemara's question of chozer of chofin to chozer of chofin. Okay, fine.
His way of explaining is what was just said of a question of what the status that it takes.
Yeah, let me find it in here. Tosa Rash had said. So chofin v'chozer v'chofin olo, right? You have to pour it back into your hands. So he says, here's the question. How the masafkale, the reason why we're asking, mishum dechsiv melo chafnav, right? It says you have to fill it with your hands. V'hevi mibei saparochas, right? And then you bring it into the Kodesh HaKadashim. Demashma debechafnav yeshu lahavi, right? That makes it sound like you're supposed to bring it while holding it in your hands. Avelo b'kli, you're not supposed to use a kaf. The reason why we allowed the kli, it's because it was impossible. You only have two hands, not three. Hilkach lekol hapachos yachzor v'yachbon b'shas aktara lekayim melochaf nav. Right, at least you know when the opportunity reappears. Right, maybe you should pour it back into your hands once that option becomes available to you.
So right? Assuming our second.
That's assuming the dechuya interpretation of the kaf, right? That is the kaf, I'm supposed to use my hands, but we allow the kaf while need be. Or do we say that, no, since you need the kaf becomes what you are supposed to use. So he is kind of cool. I'll just say this outside because I probably didn't see it inside. He uses this to explain a couple of other questions. Regarding the bringing in of the kaf and the machta, the ketores and the kols. One of these two is, let's say, b'dieved, you did not bring them in together, right? We said you're supposed to do it all at once. Let's say, b'dieved, you first brought in the kols, right? There's one of these tzduki, Kohen Gadol, who like is a disaster and doesn't know anything. So first thing he did was he brought in the coals, right? So now what should he do?
So now he's got to go
back and bring in the ketorah, right? He shouldn't have done it this way, but we're left with his two hands are available,
yes,
right? So what should he do?
according to Tosfos Rashi, should do it with his hands.
According to Tosfos Rashi, exactly. So according to Tosfos Rashi, should absolutely do it with his hands, no question, right? If you say that, no, right? The way that we set up the avoda is because of the technical requirements, the halacha formalizes the kaf, then we will say no, right? Look, you're supposed to use a kaf. The reason why you're supposed to use a kaf may not apply in this case, but the fact is you're supposed to use a kaf, right? So if we think that's the case, that would be an afkamina, which I'm pretty sure he said he had the Rambam and the Yerushalmi arguing. He had the Rambam saying that you would carry it in your hands, and he had the Yerushalmi saying you'd bring it in the kaf, which is cool because the Yerushalmi seems to think that you pour the ketores directly from the kaf into the flames. The Yerushalmi seems to not paskin chofein v'chozer v'chofein. Yerushalmi says you pour it in directly. At least that's the Yerushalmi seems to think, because otherwise there's a Yerushalmi which makes no sense, because the Yerushalmi talks about throwing the Yerushalmi asks, how do you get the ketores out of the kaf? And it gives a couple of options. And one of the options, among others, which are kind of crazy, but one of them that's like the most crazy, was that you throw up the ketores and catch it. It's like if you remember the first Spider-Man movie where...
it's the hardest of Odin.
Exactly. So while that is true, so it is definitely difficult, but I can. It is possible to throw up the ketores in the kaf and catch it in the matza. How on earth you would throw up the ketores from the kaf and then catch every tiny grain with your hands in the dark and smoky Kodesh HaKadashim.
Well, it's not smoky yet, because...
It's true, not smoky. I exaggerated. In the dark Kodesh HaKadashim, you are throwing it up in the air, right? It's like throwing up a cup of water and then catching all of it with your hands. Yes. What light is there?
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. So it seems pretty clear from there. Yeah. Anyway, it seems pretty clear that the Yerushalmi thinks that you pour the ketores directly into the fire. You don't use your hands. So that would be a nice nafkamina. It would work l'shitase. If you think you have to pour it back into your hands, then you're saying, look, I'm supposed to use my hands whenever possible, and therefore, right? If you brought in the flames early, the coals early, you then would use your hands. If you think that no, you're supposed to use the kaf, then once it doesn't matter if the flames got in early or not, you would always use the kaf. The other possible nafkamina he suggests is, what if, so the Gemara ends up saying in a little bit, and this is what we're going to talk about next time. We'll talk about the status of the right hand, the need to use your yamin during avoda. So the Gemara says, you're supposed to use your right hand for the ketores, and you should have used your left hand for the coals, because the ketores is more important than the coals. Problem is, coals are very heavy, and ketores is very light, and kohanim are very weak. So it's difficult.
It's not a move to be a lefty, is it?
It is.
Yes, that's okay. Yeah, hold off on that for 2 minutes, because that's going to be important to get down for next week's sugya. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, so he suggests, or Ilan suggests, that if the kaf, if you're really supposed to use your hands, right? Then there's no special status to this kaf, right? So it would be absurd to say that the kaf is supposed to go in your right hand, right? So in other words, let's say you flip. Because of the technicalities, you're supposed to have the heavy coals in your right hand, and you have the light incense in your left hand in the spoon. Let's say you flip them. Would that be a problem or not? So he says, well, if you're not supposed to be using a kaf, right, then you really should be holding the ketores in your two hands. So you can't say that, you know, there's a halacha that you have to use your left hand for the kaf. That makes no sense, right? You're supposed to be using your two hands. If you're supposed to be using the kaf, then maybe you can say that just like you're supposed to use the kaf, once that became a formal reality, right? So too, you could say that when we said due to the weight, it's supposed to go in your left hand, you could say that becomes a requirement as well, which happens again to be machlokas in Yerushalmi the Rambam. So that all lines up very nicely. Let's leave aside the Ritva and the Rav for now, because that's we're kind of out of time. Okay, so the next sugya we're going to do, really, for we're going to the Gemara Menachasim Beis talks about the question of walking the stuff with your left hand. So that's a great sugya because we get to talk about yamin and we get to talk about halacha. So this coming week, we will talk about the sugya of yamin. There are kind of two basic issues here. One is the machlokas tanaim between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon, and the other is a whole second set of marmakamos. That's why you'll see two kind of paragraphs of makaros. Make sure you're familiar with like the basic machlokas tanaim. All the really good lumdis is in the second set. So like for Seder, like prioritize the second set of makaros there. Yeah, and when it comes to, so this is important for just that one piece of background, there are all sorts of Bali Mumin. Being a lefty is kind of a mum. It's not a mum for an animal, but it's a mum for a kohen. What that means is that it would not posel the avoda, a lefty doing an avoda, but he's not allowed to do avoda. So that's, just remember that. That's an important thing to keep in mind. If a lefty does... The Baal Mum factor would work, but he's not supposed to do it. So that's going to be...
If a lefty does avoda with his right hand...